turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Before I start my sermon this morning, I want to give you three pieces of advice. You can take this to the bank. The first one is, don't believe everything you hear. We've got a lot of people telling us stuff on TV. They say, what is this picture? It's a picture of a spaghetti tree. Picture a spaghetti tree. This is what happens when people believe everything you hear. This is actually a true story. Where does spaghetti come from? On April 1st, when things happen on April Fool's Day, that right there says it's probably a joke. But this is actually what happened. On April 1st, 1957, so you old guys, old people like me, we would never do anything like that. Watch. Okay? April 1st, 1957, the BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation, news program Panorama tackled the question with a segment about a Swiss town's robust spaghetti crop brought on by a warm spring and the disappearance of the spaghetti weevil. For those who love this dish, there's nothing like real homegrown spaghetti, author Richard Dumbly said. Viewers literally ate it up. On April 2nd, the BBC also flooded with hundreds of phone calls from people eager to grow their own noodles. Then a rare treat for British diners. They didn't have pasta at that time. Who likes pasta? We all like pasta, right? Keeping the joke going, the BBC instructed anyone interested in a pasta-bearing tree to plant a sprig of spaghetti in a can of tomato sauce and hope for the best. And people did it. I would never do that. Yeah, we've all done foolish things, right? The moral of the story is, don't believe everything you hear. Secondly, don't believe everything you read, especially on the internet. This is the Pacific Northwest tree octopus. It has a web page. According to the species' official website, the Pacific Northwest tree octopus is native to the rainforest of the Washington State's Olympic Peninsula. It spends most of its time frolicking on treetops and smacking on frogs and rodents. But today, the arboreal cephalopod, the tree octopus, faces extinction thanks to rampant predation by Sasquatch. Now, you would read that. Now, people would not only believe in a tree octopus, they would believe in Bigfoot, too. Don't believe everything you read. We need to check everything out. How many have ever used Photoshop? Okay? We do it a lot in our office to make graphics for our courseware. But I'll tell you what, even more so today, don't believe everything you see. Don't believe everything you see, because I could take a pretty innocuous picture. Here's two rangers holding a sloth, and you can change it into that. Look at these two ice skating together. Okay? Some people would believe that that's actually real. I'll pick on my wife a little bit. She's brought some pictures of animals that she says, look at this thing. It's like a purple owl. I said, there are no purple owls in the world, unless they're dead. But the issue is that we can make something now with our technology that makes it look what? Real. And we got to be careful that we don't believe everything that we see. See, you can put yourself anywhere you want. You want to show your friends that you went to Mount Everest in your shorts without an oxygen mask? And everybody else is there with the capons and the spike boots and everything else, and you walked up in your tennis shoes? Be careful. Don't believe everything you see. My text this morning is Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. And Christ is telling this parable. It's the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And he concludes his sermon with this statement, this parable. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. We know that the Bible says this, there is no other foundation laid than that is which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He told Peter, says, upon this truth that Christ is the Messiah, on this I will build my church. We're supposed to build on a sure foundation. And Christ is saying, hey, if you listen to me, like Moses needed to with speaking to the rock, good things will happen. It says, verse 26, it says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Have we done everything that God's always asked us to do? Yeah. Okay. Shall be likened unto a foolish man. Last week we preached on when fools dare to go, or where fools go in. And we talked about the skeptical fool, one who says, God really doesn't mean that. Or the scoffing fool, oh, this sin's really not that bad. God loves me. Or the secular fool, I'll get around to God on my time. Verse 26, he says this, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a what? Foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Now, we've all probably gone to the coast, and you probably built your little sand castles out of buckets and everything else. And we went to Hawaii once, and my kids built a sand dolphin. And the issue is that what happens when the first wave hits? Gone. Verse 27, it says, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the beat upon the house. Same thing as the house that was on the rock, and what happened? And it fell, and not only did it fall, it says, and great was the fall of it. It really fell. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. So he's preached the Sermon on the Mount about all the things you need to be like, and all the things you need to follow, and all the things you need to pray for, and all this other stuff. They were astonished at his doctrine. Folks, it's time to get awe for God. It's time to be astonished what God says. It's time to be in reverence and fear of him. He says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. They had listened for hundreds of years to these people. Yab, 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 yab. But here's a man, God in the flesh, that's telling truth. So the title of my sermon this morning, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything.
That's right.
Stand for nothing, I guarantee the result, and you'll fall for everything that's out there.
Right.
The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, there's a warning talking about the last days, talking about the arrival of the Antichrist, talking about the second coming of Christ. We know that we're in the last days. And if you turn on the TV and say, it's all the same stuff. No, you need to watch really carefully.
Amen.
It says, let no man deceive you by what? Any means. What you hear, what you see, what you read, what you're told by somebody else. He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Folks, the world is getting ready for the Antichrist. The world is getting ready to follow him lock, stock, and barrel.
That's right.
Look at what's happening over the last year.
Right.
It's there.
Amen.
It's there. The day shall not come except there come a what? A falling away first. Folks, Christians in the church need to stand for something. Because if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Amen.
And if you fall for anything, we are doomed. He said, except a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, which is the Antichrist. So I want to point out three things this morning that we need to stand for, or we will have a negative consequence. The first one is we need to stand for the truth or fall for lies. We need to stand for the truth or fall for lies. Verse 24 in our text says this, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, who is talking here? Christ is talking here. God in the flesh. And doeth them, I will liken him unto a what?
Wise
man. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Do you want to be wise this morning or foolish? See, the issue is we need to stand for the truth. And the only way that you can stand for the truth is the one who is total truth, Jesus Christ. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know if you died right now, you go to heaven? If you say you're still working on it, you don't know. If you say, I think so, you don't know. You know it or you don't know it. We need to stand for the truth or you will fall for a lie. If you play around with a religion and you don't play around with truth, you're going to fall off into the lie. And there are going to be millions and millions of people go to hell because they thought they were right, but they were living a lie.
That's right.
They thought they were right, but they were living a lie. Who is needed? Jesus is needed. And John chapter 1 verse 17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. There is no other way to get grace for salvation except through Jesus Christ. There is no other truth except the life of Jesus Christ and his words. See, who is needed? Christ. You can't stand for the truth unless you're standing for the one who is truth. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Thomas, he says, how can we know the way to go? How can we stand for you? Christ says this, he says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way and the what? The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Folks, in order to stand for the truth, need to know the one who is truth. And that's Jesus Christ. So that's who is needed. Secondly, what is needed? What is needed in our lives as Christians? What is needed in our ministries as church in order to stand for the truth? The first one is knowledge. Knowledge is. John chapter 8 verse 32, Christ the truth is speaking again. He says, and ye shall what? Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Folks, I want to encourage you to know God's word. I want to encourage you to find God's will. I want to encourage you to come to church. That's how you can know the truth. It'll make you free. Because if you're not, you're in the bondage of lies. You need to stand for truth or you're going to be wrapped up in lies.
Right.
You know, maybe some of you know people like this. Is that they might have got caught for something. They might have fabricated a story. And they tell that story so much in their life that they actually believe it's the truth. That's going on today. See, what we really need is we need knowledge first. It says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The second thing is we need discernment. Especially today. Or you'll believe everything you hear. or everything you see, or everything you read, or anybody that comes up and says, I'm Christ. What did Christ say? Believe them not. Believe them not. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, John's writing, he says, beloved, who is that? That's us. That's the church. Those are believers. Beloved, believe not every spirit. What does that mean? That means that there's a potential to go astray. That means there's a potential to listen to someone else. If it sounds good, check it out against God's word.
Amen. Right.
Then if it aligns with God's word, then I would recommend that you could follow it. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but what? Try or test the spirits, whether they are of who? God, because He is the only truth. He is the only truth. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. They've been around since the beginning of time.
That's right.
They've been around since the beginning of time. John writes earlier in this book, he says, there is a spirit of Antichrist already. There are many Antichrists in the world right now. Anyone who does not believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh is an Antichrist. Folks, we need to stand for the truth.
Right.
We need to stand for the true Christ. We need to stand for the true God. We need to stand for the... Don't say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe. Yes, it does!
Amen.
It's got to be truth or you believe a lie. Who is needed? Christ is needed. What is needed? Knowledge is needed. Discernment is needed. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Why do I have to do this? Why do I need to stand for the truth? Let somebody else do it. Well, if you don't, who else won't? Why won't you? My question is, why? Why won't you listen for the truth? Why is it needed? It's needed to stand. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, a very familiar verse. It says, stand therefore, having your loins, that's this, girded about or wrapped up in what? Truth. I guarantee you, go ask Tony Parker. If these didn't work, you won't stand. And folks, if we don't have truth in our life, we can't stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. See, why is it needed? It's needed to stand because without Christ, you can't stand before God. And without Christ, you can't stand before opposition. Without Christ, you can't stand in time of tribulation. Without Christ, you can't stand in times of triumph. Without Christ, you can't do victory. You need Christ to stand. Secondly, why is it needed? For sound doctrine. For sound doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, it says, for the time will come. It's already here, folks.
Right.
It's already here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Oh, I don't know how many people have told me, I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me what you believe. This is the way I believe. No, I'm going to tell you what God's word says.
Amen.
It's your choice to believe it or not. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. My Bible tells me that all scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. It means it's God breathed. And it's profitable for what?
Doctrine.
The very first thing. Doctrine. For reproof, for correction. For instruction in righteousness. That what? That the man of God may be thoroughly furnished into good works. We teach our kids that in Awana, but do we live it? Do we live it? For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap up themselves teachers having itching ears. See, we'll go hear something that we want to hear. You do it all the time. You do it all the time. You turn on a news channel that you want to listen to. You turn on a TV show that you want to listen to. You'll read books and listen to music that you want to listen to. You'll listen to preachers that you want to listen to. Folks, be careful. Be careful that it's in line with sound doctrine. And I don't care how many names they have behind them or how many degrees they have, whatever the case may be, it better line up with God's Word. Stand for the truth or fall for lies. Why is it needed? It's needed to stand. It's needed for sound doctrine. And then lastly, we've already talked about it because of the times. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion." Folks, the delusion is in the world right now. And if you don't think, you're deluded. You're deluded. Look at what's happening right now. How can you get the entire world to follow one man? You have things like we're having right now. I've had people tell me this. "Well, I'll know when the Antichrist comes because I know what the Bible says, and then I'll get my life right with God." You won't. You say you will, but you won't. You're believing a lie that you're telling yourself. Because my Bible tells me this. He says that for this cause God shall send them what? Strong delusion that they should what? Believe a lie. They'll believe this guy getting up and say, "He's Christ." Everybody's going to go, he's going to do things that people have never seen before. And he's going to use the technology of the day to do it. He's going to be able to compass the whole world with a message. And we can do it today. Folks, it's happening. And if this is alarming you, get right with God.
Amen.
Get saved today. Because if we stand for the truth, we won't fall in the lie. But if you reject God's truth today, this might be the last time you hear this. It says that for this cause strong, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So first of all, we need to stand for the truth or we're going to fall into lie. Secondly, we need to stand for righteousness or fall into evil. Give you some suggestions today. We already know that we need to stand for the truth. So in order to stand for righteousness or you fall into lies, the first thing you need to do is you need to live as if you know the truth.
Right.
We talk about believing. Belief will change the way you act.
Amen.
And if you say you believe God and you're not acting like differently, then your belief is false and you're believing a lie. And you're not standing for the truth. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before." What does it say? You know them. You're supposed to know them. If you never open the Bible, you'll never figure it out. If you never pray to God, you'll never figure it out. If you don't come to church, you won't figure it out.
Right.
"Ye therefore, beloved," once again, talking to the church, "seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the" what? "Error of the wicked." See, the wicked thinks that they can do bad and get good out of it. You can't. Good comes from doing good. Bad comes from being bad. You can't be bad and get good out of it. You won't get bad if you're doing good. Won't happen. "Being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your" what? "Own steadfastness. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against" that what? "Day." Folks, in order to stand for righteousness, we need to live as if we know the truth. We need to live as if we know the truth. Secondly, in order to stand for righteousness or fall into evil, you need to live as if Christ lives in you. See, it's one thing to have a mental knowledge of Christ. It's another thing to have a heart knowledge of Him.
Amen.
We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Christ in you, the hope of glory. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 27 and 29, it says, "But the anointing," that's what happens when we get saved. We get the Holy Spirit. "But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. And ye not that any man teach you. I don't have to understand what a lie is. All I need to do is understand what the truth is. And if it's not the truth, it's a lie. And I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't have to understand how to make myself better. I look at Christ and I live like Him.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. And ye not that any man teach you. See, if you have teachers having itchy ears, you won't endure what? Sound doctrine. But as the same anointing teaches you of what? Oh, there's that word. All things. All things. And is what?
Truth.
And is no what?
Lie.
And even as it taught you, ye shall abide in. And now, little children, abide in Him. That when He shall appear, we may have what? Confidence. That we're doing the what? The right thing. That we're standing for the truth. That we're doing all these things. And not be ashamed before Him at His coming. How many times have you had somebody come up to your house door, knock on the door, you look at your house and you go, or they come early and you go, and you're throwing everything under the couch and you're throwing everything into the pantry or the garage so your place looks nice. You know what would be nice? Just do it every day. Then you don't have to worry about it when someone comes knocking on your door. See, Christ is knocking on our door all the time. And we need to have our house clean all the time. So when He comes, and He's here right now, we sing the song, and He walks with me and talks with me. We sing the God near to the what, heart of God. We sing all these songs about being present with Him. But we don't live like we are. It says, and now little children, abide in Him, and when He shall appear, you're not going to be embarrassed. Okay? You may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If ye know that He is righteous, if you know that He's righteous, live like that. Okay? Let it change your way of life. Ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is what? Born of Him. Amen. Folks, it's time to show people what Christians are supposed to be like.
Amen.
So stand for righteousness as if truth, you know the truth. Stand for righteousness as if Christ lives in you. Stand for righteousness as if there are consequences for our actions. We in Children's Corner, we talked about some of the things that the nation of Israel did in the wilderness. And Paul gives a great summary of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5 and 12. But then the last verse says a very significant thing. It says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. All the murmuring, let's find another leader. Why we have to eat this manna all the time? Why you bring us out in here when we had onions back in? I don't like onions. Why do we want to go back to onions in Egypt? Come on. Okay? He said, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Was not well pleased. For they were what? Overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples. To the intent we should not lust after evil things. If you're a child of God, why are you looking at evil?
Right.
As they also lusted. And then here we go. Here's a list. He says, neither be idolaters as some of them. This happened when Moses was up on the mountain getting the law, and they're down there making a molten calf. It says, as it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Next one. Neither let us commit fornication. Get immorality out of your life. Sexual relations are only for marriage relationships. Between a man and a woman. And if it's out of that, it's wrong. And it's sin, and God hates it.
Right.
And it's time for us to hate it too.
Amen.
Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 3,000 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them were tempted and were destroyed as serpents. Boy, this is really good stuff, huh? Let's go do this so we get destroyed. And we're going to get destroyed. Evil will destroy you. Your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Destroy, devour or destroy. Which it means destroy. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmur and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples. And they are written for what? Our admonition. We need to learn from their mistakes. We need to learn from their bad testimony. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. Folks, the ends of the world are coming.
Right.
And then look at verse 12. I've got this. I know what I need to do. I'll do it on my time. No. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
That's right.
Folks, it's time to live as if we know the truth. It's time to live as if Christ is living in us. It's time to live as if there's consequences for doing right actions or wrong actions. And lastly, is to stand. We need to stand in the gap, or we fail God. We need to stand in the gap, or we fail God. Why? Because of the need. Look around us, folks. You know, Christ said this. He said, when you see these signs, you see these things, lift up your head because your redemption draweth nigh. That doesn't mean just wait. That was the problem with the Thessalonians. They were waiting. They were doing nothing. Folks, that can be not our problem today. We need to do something. Because no one else is doing it.
Right.
Look at what Ezekiel writes here in verses 20 and verses 24 through 30 of Ezekiel chapter 22. It says, 24, Son of man, say unto her, talking about the nation of Israel. We can apply it to America today.
Right.
You can apply it to any country in the world today. Because we're all in the same boat. Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening upon the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Look at what's happened in the last year as far as personal wealth is concerned. Look at what's been happening as far as things being taken away. Her priests have violated my law. You know, we're a royal priesthood, a chosen people, a chosen generation. Are we violating his law? Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Folks, there needs to be a difference between righteousness and sin in your life. If there's no difference, you need help. You need Christ. You need the truth. Between the holy or the profane or the wicked. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. Her princes or her governmental leaders or her secular leaders in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood, to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have dabbed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. Folks, you know, you need to know the truth in order to speak the truth.
Right.
You need to do the truth to show, have other people listen to you. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery. They have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. But once again, here's verse 30. And I sought I, Christ, God. And I looked, sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap. Well, I can't make a difference. I'm just one person. Look at Daniel. Look at David. Look at Samuel. Look at Abel. Look at Abraham. Look at Isaac. Look at Jacob. Do I need to go on? Look at the prophets. They were all individuals. I'm glad they didn't think that way. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But here's the sad thing. But I found none. Folks, the country needs us today.
Amen.
Our city needs us today. Our church needs us today to stand in the gap. But you can't stand in the gap unless you're standing for truth. You can't stand in the gap unless you're standing for righteousness. Stand in the gap or fail God because of the need. Stand in the gap because others are counting on us. So my encouragement to you today, Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, it's a concluding statement here, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, what? So stand fast in the Lord. If you're not standing for truth, you're not standing for God. If you're not standing for righteousness, you're not standing for God. If you're not standing in the gap doing what God has made you for, you're not standing for God. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Paul writes, he says, stand fast quickly like men. Be strong. Folks, we need to stand fast. Last verse this morning in this point is 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Are you living? Are you dying? Do you have life or do you have death? Are you standing for the truth? Are you standing for righteousness? Are you standing in the gap? If you're not standing for the truth, you're believing a lie. If you're not standing for righteousness, you're doing evil. If you're not standing in the gap, you're failing God. If you know Him. That's kind of hard to say. This is God's Word.
Amen.
This is God's Word. And folks, as times get more drastic actions are going to have to be taken.
Right.
In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, it says, wherefore take unto you the what? The whole armor of God, that ye may be able to what? Withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. What are you standing for today, Christian? What are you standing for today out there on the internet? What are you standing for? That's the question. What are you standing for today? If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to get saved today so you can stand for Him. Because you can't without Him. And if you are saved, we need to stand with Him and do what He wants us to do and be like Him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just thank You for this time of invitation. Father, if someone does not know You as Savior today, Lord, I just ask that this would be the time that they realize that You sent Your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross in place of them for their sins. He was buried, rose the third day, Lord, to show that He has power over sin, which is death, and gives eternal life as a free gift. Lord, help someone that does not know You, does not know heaven, to come forward today, and we'll show them how to get saved. Father, as us as Christians, Lord, help us, Lord, to follow You with all our heart. Help us, Lord, to stand for the truth. Help us, Lord, to stand in righteousness. Help us, Lord, to stand in the gap. Search our hearts today, Lord, and help and change us, Lord. And help us to decide for You. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.